The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with the assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Hello, it's me, your book friend, writer, and editor Claire Williamson, and this is A Little Bit Booked on Fresh FM. Today I have with me Colette Rhodes, a paranormal romance author who lives in Otepoti, Dunedin. She loves to write about love in all its forms and adores imperfect heroes and heroines who find perfection in each other. You'll often find her trying to justify her degree by including ancient history and mythological influences in her work. And, excitingly, as of earlier this year, you can also find her chatting books at The Ink Pot, the independent romance bookstore she opened in central Dunedin. Hi, Colette.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Tell me what you've been reading recently.
I have been reading so many books. We have a series of book clubs running at the Ink Pot. So I'm trying to keep on top of all of those. We have five different ones each month with like different subgenres of romance as the focus. So I'm just finishing up The Northwind by Alexandria Warwick for our Romantasy Book Club. Last month we did Shield of Sparrows by Daphne Perry, and the sequel just came out like 2 days ago. I'm dying to get to that one when I have a minute. That was such a good book.
Do you pick the subgenres yourself, or are they kind of reader submitted, or how do you pick the books each month?
We created a Facebook group and did like a bit of a poll to see what people were interested in. And then basically we decided on dark romance, romance, contemporary, and then one that kind of revolves each month, and then a historical one that we want to run every second month.
Is there a clear favorite? Like, is everyone signing up for the romantasy one, or is, you know, kind of historical having a moment?
Yeah. I think romantasy has sold out the fastest every time.
Yeah, of course.
Followed by dark romance, which surprised me. I didn't realize that dark romance was such a big seller. And then probably contemporary after that. Mm. So it's been really fascinating to get to know what people are reading, what people are enjoying. Real challenge for ordering stock for the shop before we opened was like, what do people want?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah.
What is your usual go-to subgenre of romance? I'm a historical girly. I'm like, give me Victorian, give me Regency. I love a classic class difference pining. Dreaming of You by Lisa Kleypas is like the pinnacle for me of my favorite romance.
Yeah, I love historical romance as well. And I'm devastated that it's actually so hard to find now and to access even. It's so hard. You know, I'll go to publishers and be like, hi, I want to order all this Tessa Dare. I love Tessa Dare. Mm. And it's just, they don't keep any stock, even in Australia. Like, stuff has to come from the UK or the US. Like, there's just not much. I don't know. I don't know if the demand is not from the reader side or if it's the publisher side. I can't tell. But yes, I do love me some historical. I love paranormal romantasy. I don't read a ton of contemporary. But the good thing about book clubs is that I'm kind of pushing myself out of my comfort zone and trying a bit of everything.
Yeah, well, I guess it's also then a really good excuse to like stay up with what is coming out, because, you know, there will be a reader who wants to like come to you for a recommendation, and it's good to be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in addition to subgenres, we all have our favorite tropes. What are your maybe, I won't make you pick just one. What are your maybe top two or three? What buttons were installed when you first got into romance?
I mean, I feel like they're kind of similar, to be honest. Like, I love fake dating, like marriage of convenience, arranged marriage. They all kind of sit pretty, you know, similar. But I love anything where they're like, right, this is just like a transaction. I'm not going to catch feelings. You're not going to catch feelings. Like, we're above all of that. And then they spend more and more time together, and you can like, you have that delicious like push-pull tension. Oh, so good. My absolute favorite is The Unlovely Bride by Alice Colbreath. Mm-hmm. Sort of medieval kind of, I don't know, a made up medieval world. I wouldn't strictly call it historical. But it's just, oh my gosh, the perfect example for me of two people who are just like, right, this is just a transaction. I don't care about you. You don't care about me. And then they fall in love and it's beautiful.
I'm on board with
that. I love a contract where they all sign and they're like, if one of us falls in love, we'll immediately break up. And then, you know, a few chapters later, someone's clearly in love and they're like, I must remain silent and agonizingly pining forever because I can't lose them. So that's up there. I love mutual pining generally. And I love, how do I describe this one? It's like one person has been suffering in silence forever. And then someone else finds, the other person finds out about it, and the like, the devastating emotional realization moment.
Yeah.
Just makes me go,
I love that. That what could have been.
Mm.
That is, yeah.
Yeah.
That is very satisfying to read.
Yeah. I also love I do love in the right book, I love a fated mate kind of moment when done well. I liked Bride by Ali Hazelwood. That kind of ticked a lot of my yays. Yep. So what got you into romance specifically, whether as a reader and then as a writer? Like, what was your intro to the genre?
Yeah. My intro would have been, oh my goodness, I haven't thought about the series in years. but I'm going to pronounce her name wrong too. Jennifer Armentrout, one of those ones.
Oh, wow.
She has a YA series, the Lux series. And it was,
I don't I think I know that said, one.
It's sort of Twilight-esque, I guess, but with aliens. And I sort of stumbled upon it, having taken a big break from reading, I think, as a lot of people do, right? You get into like university reading and then go into work and everything like that. So I kind of taken a big break, and then I was on maternity leave and found myself with an abundance of time just holding a baby all the time. She wouldn't sleep otherwise. And I found that one, and then it was kind of just the Kindle algorithm took me deeper and deeper into the genre and was exploring all these different parts of romance. And it was kind of when indie publishing was fairly new, so I was very excited to be picking up these books, being like, I don't remember books being like this. This is very different from the publishing landscape as I remember it, you know, just a few years ago. So that was kind of my journey back in, and then continued along that path to write my own.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Kindle Unlimited and that kind of online self-publishing space and all of the blogs that people could start, I think, pushed boundaries, particularly in genre fiction and romance, well before traditional publishing caught up. And I do think that is where a lot of the trends come from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely an interesting space.
It's fascinating to see the stuff that comes into the store now that is traditionally published. And I'm like, I cannot imagine this would have got past, you know, an agent and through that chain a few years ago. But that is what people like, right? People are buying these books. So
yeah, it is a really cool way where they, like, authors can come with kind of data already baked in, being like, look, I know this is going to do really well because spreadsheet, it does really well.
Yeah. Here's the statistics. Absolutely.
So when was the moment, you know, you've got a baby in one arm and I guess a Kindle in the other hand.
Yeah.
What was the moment for you where you went, I wanna write a romance book? I have my two characters have popped into my mind.
Yeah. I mean, for me, writing was always one of those, like, it was the answer to, like, if you could do any job in the world, what would you do? It was always like, I'd love to be a writer. Oh my gosh, I'm full of stories. I've always had stories floating around my head. But again, before that kind of indie publishing landscape, I was like, well, there's no way. Like, it's so competitive. It's so difficult to get yourself in front of a publisher. Like, it just won't happen. So, you know, I went off and did communications and marketing and that sort of boring corporate writing, but not fun creative writing. And then I think just kind of as a challenge, like being a new mom, it's like, who am I now aside from being my daughter's mother? Like, I was feeling a little bit lost and like, what does my life look like now? What does my career look like now? And I just sort of thought, as a challenge to myself, I'm going to put one of these ideas I have on paper. We'll just see what happens. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't get it proofread. I designed my own cover and just kind of chucked it up on Amazon. and then lockdowns hit and people were at home reading and they took a lot of chances on new authors and things they hadn't read before. And it pretty much took off right away. No, was, yeah, such a whirlwind.
That's, like, super brave to do, I think, because and people always say that putting your writing out there, which is essentially putting you out there, is one of the hardest things to do. And this was,
I think it was probably more naive than brave. Mm-hmm. And this, like, I don't think I had thought anybody was going to read it. It didn't really occur to me that it would go anywhere or that it would become, like, I never imagined that it would become a career. So, yeah, I really spiraled in a good way. And by the time it kind of caught up with me that, like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm doing now, you know, it was already in motion.
And now you have, like, what, 4 or 5 series under your belt? Because there's Shades of Sin, there's State of Grace, and a couple more.
Funny how there's 30 books. I can't remember how many series are, but yeah, 30
Christ.
Books.
You have written 30 books since, like, 2020?
Yeah, I did them all in 5 years, and then I actually took last year off, and so I was feeling kind of tired.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Took a little break, kind of thought about what I wanted to do, which is where the ink pot kind of started to take shape as well. And I'm back at it now. My book is due at the end of April, so I got to hustle.
So for people who haven't yet had the chance to read one of your books, how would you describe then your brand of romance or your subgenre of romance?
I mean, they're all kind of in that paranormal fantasy space. I would generally consider myself quite like a sweet on the sweeter side. Like, they're spicy books, but like, the relationship dynamics are not dark at all. I'm very big on consent. I love a lot of
consent is
banter. I love a lot of coziness. Yeah, we love some consent kings. I think there's probably a little bit too much angst to classify them as rom-coms, but there's a lot of comedic elements in there.
Well, that sounds like it'd be right up my alley. And I do know, I had a friend who was at, oh gosh, the name is completely escaping me now, the Christchurch romance event. That was
a romantic event.
Yes, that one. And they said that you were there and that it went really well. It sounded like it was fun. Was that?
Yeah.
Since you started writing during lockdown, was that kind of, other than the ink pot, which I'm very excited to get into, was that kind of your first major meet hundreds of readers all at once moment?
No, I've been very fortunate to travel to some events overseas in the past 2 years. So I went to Edinburgh in 2024, which was humongous, and it was like 2,000 readers there or something for Rare. And then I've done a couple of events with Rare in Melbourne, and then also Babe in Sydney last year. So yeah, it was so nice to be able to do something here at home. It was lovely. Like, some of the readers that I met were Kiwis that I had met in Australia, so it's great that we were actually getting to meet, like, kind of on home soil for a change. Yeah, it was so lovely. So glad to see the event side of things picking up in New Zealand. Obviously, we have the readers already. There's an online, like, active online community. But with, you know, the romance bookstores popping up, more events coming here. Yeah, it's been really exciting to see the in-person stuff starting to take off.
Was that New Zealand's first major romance convention that you're aware of?
Yeah, as far as I know, that was the first romance-specific event that we've had. I think there is going to be one in Auckland next year, I believe, arranged by Stephanie Holmes, who's a fantastically talented Kiwi author. So I'm very excited for that one. Auckland is my hometown, so I'm very excited to have an excuse to go home.
So we've had, obviously, you writing an incredible amount of very successful books in a pretty compact period of years. And then there's been a romantic adventure, and now Enamored Books in Auckland and the Ink Pot in Dunedin. And I know there's another romance bookstore that's going to be coming up in Wellington kind of in the next few months. So clearly there's a moment happening for this genre.
Yeah.
So for you, what made it the right time to conceive of and kind of put the ink pot into motion?
It's sort of a combination of factors. Feels very privileged to complain about working from home, but having been writing from home for 6 years, I was getting a little bit sick of staring at the same walls.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, oh my gosh, I need to get out of the house. Like, this is too much. And writing is already quite an insular career choice, right? Like, you just, it's you and your laptop all day long. So I'd already been thinking of that I can be more involved in the community. And I had been looking at leasing a space, just as like office space. And my husband knew I always wanted to open a bookstore. So he's like, but, you know, let's just go for it now. Like, it can be a space for you to write. And you also get that kind of community connection as well. So it was great. It all came together really quickly. Like, we were looking around, found this beautiful spot on St. Andrew Street, like straight away, this gorgeous like old building with the lead light windows, and felt very cozy and kind of that very traditional bookstore feel, which is what I wanted. We did the big 4 meter high shelves with the rolling ladder. Like, I wanted it to feel very timeless.
That just feels very Beauty and the Beast, and it just makes me happy.
I thought that I would be like up there sliding back and forth and like loving it like Belle, but no, actually I climb up there, I'm like clinging on for dear life.
Please don't move, please don't move, please don't move.
Yeah. This is higher than it goes.
So from like conception to opening, how-ish long was it?
I think we secured the space in October and then we opened doors 21st of Feb. So was not tremendously long. Like, getting stock into the country is extremely time consuming. Everything comes on a boat from Australia, at the minimum, or sometimes it comes from the UK. So that was the part we had to like allow quite a bit of time for. And then obviously Dunedin is such a student city, so we kind of wanted to wait until the students were back in town. But we probably had like 200 people lined up on opening day.
I feel good.
Just the line went down the block. It was incredible. Yeah. The support was amazing.
Other than the slightly terrifying but very aesthetically cool rolly ladders, what are some of your favorite elements or details about the Inkpot?
I mean, the ladder is definitely one of them. The beautiful old windows. Like, it's such an old building. I think it's pre-1900. So I love just kind of imagining what was in this space before. And it's probably been so many things over the years. And then we have this amazing selection of candles from Bound and Burned, who are based in the North Island. So as soon as you go in, it just always smells so good in there. It's lovely. And we've got like a little kind of seating area at the back for book clubs and things like that. Yeah, it's just very cozy. That's when I hear from people who come in, they're always saying that the energy in there is so nice, that it's such a like inviting space, which is what we're going for.
I don't know if you've ever felt the same way, but it does sometimes feel like romance is unfortunately one of those genres where you like you constantly have to semi-defend your enjoyment of it in certain spaces, which to me is always weird, because who doesn't like a happy ending, and who doesn't like relationships between people and exploring that? So why do you, I guess, like, why do you think romance is such an important genre generally?
I mean, yeah, I get very heated on the subject.
Good, let's go,
Yeah. Romance is a genre that is primarily, not only, but primarily written by women and consumed by women. And I think there is always a higher kind of bar to clear, I guess, for things that women enjoy, right? And it's always like, why isn't this more, I don't know, deeper? Why isn't this more intellectual? Whatever. Criticism that does not get lobbed at like video games, you know, you consume this media because it makes you happy, because it brings you joy. And like, that is the point, and it's totally fine for that to be the whole point, is that this thing makes me happy, and so I want to spend my time doing this thing. Especially like when, you know, when the world is a scary place and uncertain, the certainty in romance is something that really appeals to people, right? Whatever these characters go through, you know it's going to end happily, and it kind of gives their suffering this sense of purpose, which I think is quite like meaningful for people.
Amen. Agree with all of that.
And it's the highest grossing genre in fiction, and has been for years. So whatever. Like,
again, numbers back it up.
Exactly.
Yeah, all of that. And I also think that, I mean, I think a lot of genre fiction does this, but romance in particular, by dint of it being particularly prolific in these online indie spaces, gets to explore again a lot of the themes and trends of stuff that like people are concerned about before it hits traditional, I say making quotes as well. Like, I know a couple years ago in romance there was like this weird uptick in like morgue themed romance, and like people like that as is like a sub genre, but like people clearly grappling with social issues through characters in ways that like let people work through them, but then it ends up happily. That I think is also really important in addition to everything that you said.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, writers are human too, right? So it's whatever is going on is influencing how we're processing and feeling and the kind of themes that we want to explore. I was writing a dystopian fantasy last year, and then the actual world felt a little too dystopian for me to want to write that anymore.
Put that aside.
So, yeah, I'm going to shelf that and write something kind of light and fluffy that makes me feel good.
Nope, fair enough. No judgment from me on that pivot. And then I guess, I mean, you mentioned the book clubs as like this romance is really passionate community of romance readers coming together on that front. But like, what else are you doing or do you really want to do with the Inkpot to like make it this warm and welcoming and, you know, successful space?
So many things. I mean, the event side of things is really huge, right? I think there's a lot of demand for those third spaces and that we've kind of lost that post-pandemic. So just kind of having it be a space where you can just sit and hang out and read. If you want to read or write, we have like a writer's corner set up at the back for people who want to work on their manuscripts. It is very rewarding to be writing a romance novel and seeing people come in and buy romance novels and talk about how much they love them. And it kind of creates this connection between what you're doing and your eventual audience for it. We're also starting launch parties and stuff next week. So some local authors with new releases. It's just a way to celebrate them and to kind of bring the community together. Would love to get small local writers to come in and do talks and do signings and all those kind of things. Yeah. There's so many. We've got it's a very little space, but we're doing our best to make the most of it.
As soon as you said readers come in and talk about romance, I was like, oh, those book clubs might actually be quite helpful for you, because now I feel like you get to hear what people like and don't like about so many things.
It's great market research for me, honestly. Like, I can't read books where like the main character is a writer or like works in a bookshop or any kind of, like, it's always been too meta for me. But it's, then I'll like go to book club, people are like, oh, I love that she's a writer. I'm like, oh, okay. It's just me that hasn't shown it.
Fair enough. As an author, are there any things, because now you're on both sides of the equation, on the writing selling side of the equation, and you're on the like marketing yourself, but you're also on the selling books side of the equation. Are there any things that you do with the Inkpot to kind of make it more author friendly, or that you really wished you'd had in other spaces where you were trying to, you know, get your book in front of readers who would love it?
Yeah, I mean, we're very diligent about our consignment program, which kind of gives authors a chance to get their books on the shelves in a way that is lower risk for us, right? Like, we can see that, okay, you're new, this book is, you know, you've poured your heart and soul into it, it's been professionally edited, everything, you've signed off that there's no AI in it, you know, go through that whole process. But that kind of gives us a way to be able to have those books on the shelf and for them to get those books into a store, which is a really nice feeling. And then once you're in one store, it does make it a lot easier to then go to other places and be like, look, see, like, here's a proven quantity. For me, like, having sold on consignment before, I think the biggest issue has just been some stores don't manage the process very well. You might not actually like end up getting paid. Those kind of things. So yeah. So we're like, how can we do this in a way that has really great transparency throughout the whole process, that makes sure everybody is being treated fairly? Because, yeah, it would be a shame to not be able to offer something like that, right? I think it's a real benefit to authors starting out. And it was great at A Romantic Adventure where I would kind of go around at the end and be like, if you don't want to take Stockholm, like, we're happy to take it and put it on the shelves and see how that goes. And it's, yeah, people kind of be like, oh, like, I didn't know that you would have this author in stock. Like, this is this, you know, indie author. We don't usually see them on the shelves. That's so cool. And yeah, just in general, trying to have a good mix of indie and trad published. Unfortunately, the indie stuff is harder to get just logistically in New Zealand. But yeah, certainly a big focus for us.
And that's really cool. And I mean, I feel like New Zealand has amongst its writers, like a disproportionate number of really successful romance writers as well.
Yeah, I think so.
And have you started to find yourself in the position of, you know, kind of new writers coming up to ask you questions and for mentoring and that sort of thing? Is that weird?
Yeah. It is a bit weird. Yeah. The local chapter of Romance Writers New Zealand, the Otago chapter, does meet at the store. So that's been really handy to be like, oh, like, you're starting out, you should come along to our meetings. And like, you know, everybody's at different stages of their journey. There's always something like of value for everybody. So yeah, it is certainly interesting kind of being on that side of the equation. And yeah, just surreal when someone comes in and like picks up one of my books on the shelf and it's like, oh, I love this author. And I'm like,
not realizing immediately that it's you.
Yeah. Like, that is the craziest feeling in the world. Oh my goodness. So rewarding.
I know you said when you first self-published your first book that, you know, it's both like kind of brave, a little brave and a little naive. If you could go back and give yourself any kind of advice or advice maybe to someone who's trying to take that same step, what do you think you would say?
I mean, definitely get a proofread first. Don't publish without proofreading. That was crazy. But I also think, like, when you start writing it, be very clear with yourself in your mind that you are going to finish it. I think it's so easy mentally to be like, oh, I'll just work on it. I'll just work on it a little bit at a time. Like, if you treat it like it's going to be done, like it's 100%, you've already made the decision that the book is going to be written. And I think that kind of makes that first initial hurdle of just getting the words down a lot easier. And then, to be honest, like, don't overthink it too much. You can really talk yourself out of an idea. You can analyze it to death. I've certainly done that with books, you know, even recently, a couple of years ago. Like, I'll fixate too much on one negative review and be like, oh my gosh, I can never write this type of character again. And, you know, just because one person doesn't like it, that doesn't mean that not everybody is going to like it. But those negative voices do float to the top, right? And you can be very critical of yourself that way.
I will not then tell you about my many folders of WIP, mostly fan fiction romance things that I have started many years ago and have not finished. Never mind.
That's all part of the process. But yeah. I do think it is valuable to be like, right, this is the one that I'm going to pitch. And even if it's not good, and even if you don't do anything with it, just that hurdle of I'm going to write a book. Because, I encounter a lot of people like, that's great that you write books. I've always wanted to write a book. It's like, you can. You can. I promise you, if I can do it, anyone can do it.
with a small child.
Yeah. With a toddler and you know, during lockdowns and everything else. If you kind of treat it like a job, then work your way through it.
What do you do when you get stuck on a spicy scene? How do you work through that?
I just leave it to the end and then hate myself. And when I get to the end of the book and I'm like, oh no, I have to write all of these now. But in general, like, I don't write in a linear sort of fashion. I know there's sort of people talk about like plotters and pantsers, and I feel like I'm somewhere in the middle.
Planting.
Zoe York describes it as she says quilter, which I felt really resonated with me.
I like that.
I sort of write all these different scenes and then I stitch them all together into a story. Yeah, and like things move around and everything like that. But that for me is the best way of going, okay, well, I'm stuck. I'm just going to jump, you know, several scenes ahead. And I'll come back to this when the inspiration hits.
I like that because I've constantly been describing myself as a planter, which I think is the same thing. I've got like three disparate ideas and they won't be anywhere near each other. And then I'm like, okay, I don't know how to get from this little to this little, but we'll get there eventually somehow.
Yeah, we'll find our way.
I like that. And then I guess what is next for you? Writing a non-dystopia, fluffy, fun romance?
Fluffy and fun. That one is going to be traditionally published, so I can't really say much about it, which is exciting.
That is
waiting
exciting.
For the official announcement. Yeah, so this will be my first trad book, which I'm very pumped about. We'll have to kind of watch the space. I don't think anything will be released until the later half of 2027, probably. All these things take a lot of time, but that's great. It gives me time to write and to work on it this year while we're getting the shop up and running. It feels like a lot of new challenges at the moment, right? Everything is, the shop is new.
Mm.
Working, you know, with editors and things is a new experience. Actually having to keep to deadlines is also a new experience. So.
But it sounds like you already had the good habits for it, so my confidence is high.
Yeah, I think, like, I need pressure. If I don't have the deadline, then I just won't do it. But in the past, it's always been like, right, I've put the pre-order up on Amazon. That's the date that it has to be on Amazon. And just that was how I structured everything, which was very chaotic.
Mm.
This requires a little more organization.
Has it been, other than the fact that when you're self-publishing, you were literally doing, I guess, aside from the proofreading, everything, most of the things yourself, has it been a vastly different kind of experience going through traditional publishing?
Yeah, it has. And it's really nice to be able to kind of bounce ideas off somebody and to kind of get a little bit more input. I mean, I certainly had like a team of beta readers and I had a developmental editor and stuff who I worked with as well as a proofreader. Kind of different coming at it as well from a more commercial perspective, I guess. that's been, you know, a valuable lesson as well.
Are you going to throw your own launch party at the Inkpop eventually?
I have thought about that. Like, wouldn't that be weird? But I think I'd like to. I think it would be really fun. Just, you know.
Yeah, it's like your home base.
To just be like having a birthday party or something, I guess. it would be really fun. I do love the event side of the shop. I like theming things. I like arranging decorations and all that stuff. It's fun. I just get to use a different part of my brain, which is nice.
And I guess I had one last random question, which is, does your kid know that you have a bookstore and are a writer? Like, how do you describe what you do? And are they Mom, I want to be a writer too?
Sometimes she says that. I don't know. She does know I write romance novels. She does not know the contents of them, and I hope that she never will. She loves the bookstore though. She's in there all the time. She'll just sit there and draw. And she's a big reader herself. She's into her chapter books and stuff now, so she'll kind of hang out and read. She likes the idea of the bookstore more than she likes the idea of being a writer. So I want to work in the bookstore. I want to go up and down the ladder.
I mean, fair enough. And if I could have a job that was like professional reader, I too would do that for a living in a bookstore.
Yeah.
So if you ever want to pay me just to sit in a cozy corner and like read books and make it look really atmospheric and inviting, I will happily come down to Dunedin.
Please come on down. It'd be
great. Well, I think I'll wrap us up then with a few little bookish bits. One is that we are right in the middle of the Global Book Crawl 2026, which is running from 20 to 26 April, with four crawls happening across New Zealand. So there's Auckland, Wellington, Featherstone, our book town, and Canterbury, which I'm not sure if you quite fall into Canterbury?
No, yeah. Probably a little far for that one. We're in Otago. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, people should go to your bookstore during 2026, yeah, April, yeah, during the crawl. Anyways, so everyone can head to globalbookcrawl.org to see all the bookshops that are taking part across Aotearoa, New Zealand, and then everyone can go forth and read. And the other is that some people might already know of Rachel, a.k.a. The Lit List, with a couple underscores after that on Instagram. And she's recently debuted Litzy, which is a little online used bookstore that she curates. And you can also check that out at lit.sy.com. And that's it for today. I've got books, travel, coffee, stuff, and things at Accidental Tokyoite. All of Colette's books are at coletteroads.com, and that's Colette with one L, not two. And then you can check out The Inkpot at theinkpot.co.nz, where I think you've got an events calendar in addition to all your stock and stuff, so everyone can see what's coming up.
Absolutely.
And I hope everyone has enjoyed being a little bit booked today. We can all go forth and find our next happily ever after.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.co.nz, for our contact.